Attention all shoppers. Attention all shoppers.
Shopping mall. I wouldn't care about the isolation. I'm unconcerned about the Walking Dead. It's the end of the world.
Howdy, folks. Widget Walls here. It is time for your October 3rd Heads Up podcast. We are playing catch up here. Basically, the purpose of this podcast is to get you acquainted with all of the titles, and there are a slew of them that streeted on the week of October the 3rd, so that you can be a little bit more informed as to going out and throwing your coin at various places. And as always, we appreciate it if you throw your coins right here at Amazon through Need Coffee. So that's what we're here for. It's a shill fest, but hopefully a mildly entertaining one. We all come out ahead. So, like I said, make yourself comfortable because we got a few things to talk about. First up, we got three audiobooks that we want to cover here. First out of the gate is, whoops, we actually had this as for a Weekend Justice pick, Abundance, but it makes sense because the Marie Antoinette film is coming out this coming weekend. So best to get the points in for this one while we can. As I had mentioned before, this is by Sina Jeter Naslund, and it's called Abundance. It's a fictionalized account of Marie Antoinette and how it is that she got blindsided by all of the stuff that was going on, and it's basically because of all the things that were happening in her life, the poor dear. She was probably having to deal with the... she was probably very confused by the anachronistic soundtrack. No, I'm sorry, that's a Sofia Coppola movie. I haven't seen it yet, but like I said, in the previous Weekend Justice, it's Sofia Coppola, so what are you going to do? So a filmmaker so good that we could forgive her for Godfather 3. That's how fucking good she is. So anyway, this is Abundance. It's performed by Susanna Burney, and it is abridged, as mentioned before, 12 hours over 10 CDs, and that is from Harper Audio. Next up, and this is kind of terrifying because this is about Christmas, right? And we're not even to Halloween yet, but, you know, you got to get the stuff out, the products out, so that they'll be around for people to buy when it's time for them to do Christmas shopping. And, you know, I wrote an entire, it's not like it was, 15,000 words, but a short about the encroachment of Christmas upon other holidays. So Christmas, goddammit, leave Halloween alone. It's Halloween. You can screw with Thanksgiving all you want, but leave Halloween be. It's ours. So anyway. We've got from the folks at Harper Children's, Barbara Robinson's The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, which is undeniably cute. I was actually in a church function. Yes, Widge was actually a church member at one point, but a church-sponsored production of this play. But if you don't know it, and I don't know how you could possibly not know it, but it's about taking the worst family of kids that are in the church and basically making them part of the Christmas pageant, and everyone learns something. And it's actually quite Christian in its outlook, unbelievably enough. But anyway, that's by Barbara Robinson. It's performed by Elaine Stritch, and it's very cute. If you have not read it, regardless of your feelings about Christmas or Christianity or anything like that, it's definitely worth checking out because it's a nice Christmas story, and we could use a few of those that don't, make your teeth hurt. So there you go. Best Christmas pageant ever from Harper Audio. And lastly, on the audiobook side, we've got Melon, which is by David Cannadine, and it's read by John H. Mayer. And Melon, M-E-L-L-O-N, it is a biography of Andrew W. Melon, who is a guy who was around during the turn of the 20th century and helped engineer the Roaring Twenties, and basically was an incredible entrepreneur and businessman. Sounds like a fascinating guy, although, I'd never heard of him before. Now, granted, I did go to Alabama Public Schools, so there's no telling how many of these interesting people I've missed out on. But this is actually comes in a green audiobook, which at first, and of course, this is how stupid I am, was thinking melons, right? But of course, that's for money, which of course this guy had a lot of. So if you're interested in how the financiers and philanthropists and businessmen of the early 20th century did their thing, then you might want to check this out, and that is from Random House Audio. It is abridged, 10.5 hours across 8 compact discs, plenty there to sink your teeth into, or your ears into. That doesn't quite work as well. Let's go back to teeth then. Next up, we've got a box set of the Mary Poppins books from P.L. Travers. And for those of you who have only seen the film, which is delightful, I love the film, how could you not, Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke and all that, these are a little bit different. Mary Poppins likes to screw with the kids' heads a bit more, and there's more kids. There's like 5 kids as opposed to the 2. So there's 3 books here, and basically I can just see Travers at the time that this was written saying, oh, I've always envisioned it as a trilogy. But anyway, it comes with Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins comes back, and Mary Poppins opens the door. And this is from Harcourt. And it comes with illustrations by, well, the original illustrations, mind you, from Mary Shepherd and Agnes Sims. So I have not had a chance to crack these open. It would be interesting to do so. Cosette has picked them up and is currently going through them. So if you're only familiar with the stories from the movie, it would be worth checking out. And, of course, it comes in this lovely little box set from the people at Harcourt Children's. And in the book department, we've got from Fantagraphics the Complete Peanuts by Charles Schulz, and actually with an introduction by Diana Krall. And for those of you who don't know, Fantagraphics is putting out the Complete Peanuts. Every single Peanuts strip, including a vast majority of them that have not ever seen reprinting. So if you are a fan of Peanuts, you need to be grabbing these. They're doing the same thing with Dennis the Menace. So absolutely fascinating and amazing stuff. And a huge boon to fans of Peanuts, because I remember I had the compilations when I was a kid, mostly. And so there's a lot of these I've just never seen before. So you can really get a feel for the evolution of the characters and how they've come across with this. And it will, I believe it will take, when they get done, I think it was 12 years to get it all published, because they're putting about 2 a year. And so if you're a fan of Peanuts, or again, Christmas gift, right? If you know somebody who likes Peanuts, they actually have, I think, 2 volumes in a box set, so you can grab them and start them from the beginning. But this one is 61 through 62, and it's all of them. And Fantagraphics is doing everyone a huge service by reprinting these. Very nicely done. Couple CDs to talk about here. Sony BMG has got the Elvis Christmas. And again, we're talking about Christmas here, and it's kind of terrifying, but you'll just have to bear with us. But basically, here's the deal. There is a lot of Christmas music out there that annoys the shit out of me. Okay, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You go to the mall and it's just like, oh, you know, you can feel your eyes melting out of your skull, like the kid in The Day After. Actually, that was a weird segue, wasn't it? Anyway, but you know what I'm talking about. You go home for the holidays and they're playing just the standard tired Christmas music. Me, I like to go in with stuff like, you know, a Dr. Demento Christmas or just anything. But there are certain perennial things that I can deal with. And I'm sorry, but I actually like Elvis Presley. I mean, I don't know how you could not like Elvis Presley. You got to deal with Elvis at one point or another. And this is basically a reissue of his 2 Christmas albums, the Christmas album, Elvis's Christmas album, and Elvis Sings the Wonderful World of Christmas. And it's 23 tracks, including stuff like, you know, Here Comes Santa Claus and Silver Bells, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, all your standards, but it's done by Elvis. And this is one of those that I can, you know, I can listen to and I can be fine with. So if you would like, you know, if you like Elvis, all right, and you got to go home for the holidays, you got to, or they're coming to you, you know what I mean? It can't be avoided, right? Then, and you need some music because, you know, if family's there, you don't actually want to talk to one another, right? So if you need some music to put in the background to kind of stifle conversation and something that everybody can like, then you should pick this up. It's the Elvis Christmas album, and like I said, 23 tracks and remastered and the whole bit. So I will be taking this home with me, rest assured. Next up from the folks over at Interscope Records, we've got The Evolution of Robin Thicke. And basically this is, first of all, I saw this album and I started to look at the track listings, and I'm kind of, you know, the only person that I let get away with that whole spelling T-O as the numeral 2 and, you know, Would That Make You Love Me? Is it uppercase letter U? Prince is about the only person I can let get away with that, because doesn't he know like 47 instruments and invented 10 or something ridiculous like that? Guy's a freaking genius, so I'll let him get away with that. So that's kind of a turnoff for me, because I'm like, oh, come on. How hard is it to hit T-O? Come on. Come on. This is not, you're not SMSing these songs, right? These aren't you're not text messaging the track listing. Come on. Come on. Are you that hard up? But anyway, so that being said, I did slap it in, and there's some good stuff on here. The thing that impresses me the most is that our man Thick here has got a hell of a range, and when he starts getting into full-on smooth mode, it's very Marvin Gaye-esque, I must say. So you've got some good stuff on here. Got to Be Down is a duet that he does. It works with Faith Evans. You've got Everything I Can't Have, which is a really nice kind of Latin thing, a little bit more upbeat. So there's some good stuff on here. You know, would it make my short list of stuff that I want to listen to? Probably not, but it's nice and smooth. And if you like, you know, R&B type stuff, you might want to check this out. This is from Interscope, and again, it's The Evolution of Robin Thicke. Okay, over to DVDs then. We've got Universalist first out of the box with 21 Grams. This is Sean Penn, Benicio Del Toro, Naomi Watts, and this is a damn good movie. I remember seeing this in the theaters, and it's just incredible performances from the three leads. And, you know, I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to spoil it, but it's basically the entire film, the narrative of the film is chopped up into little bits. So it's really worth rewatching so that you can figure out, you know, what's the beginning and what's the ending of the actual story itself. But really damn good. Should have gotten more attention than it did, to be perfectly honest. And now that it's in this collector's edition, hopefully it'll get some people's attention. Now, as far as the collector's edition thing goes, there's only one bonus feature on here, which is kind of disappointing. It's a making of the film. So, you know, sorry to see that there's not. I would love to get commentary from the three stars or commentary from the director, from the writer, anyone on this film. But hopefully they'll come out, you know, with a two-disc really nice set later on. But if you have not seen 21 Grams, you owe it to yourself to check it out, if nothing else, for the strength of the three leads. And it's Sean Penn in not over-the-top Sean Penn mode. He's actually kind of in normal, actually acts like he's human Sean Penn mode. Fascinating stuff. Next up, we've got Avenger from Warner Brothers, and I believe this is a direct-to-video release. And, you know, what I'm going to say here will make a lot of you want to check this out regardless. I mean, you've got, first of all, James Cromwell, excellent actor. Timothy Hutton, very good actor. But Sam Elliott, okay? And as I flip this over, we got Sam Elliott with an automatic weapon. And Sam Elliott is a freaking badass, okay? So anytime that you can watch something with Sam Elliott in it, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get some asses getting kicked. So I'm very pleased to report to you, Sam Elliott is the Avenger. And he's basically ex-Special Forces guy turned mercenary, and he's on a case that basically the CIA is working a different angle, and they don't want him to fuck it up, so they might just have to fuck him up. So, but how do you fuck up Sam Elliott? Especially Sam Elliott with this Van Dyke configuration beard thing going on. That makes him almost immortal. But anyway, so Sam Elliott, again, an Avenger from Warner Brothers, and like we just got this in recently, so I haven't had a chance to pop it in, but he's got to at least make it worth watchable and worth a rental. That's what I'm thinking. Gotta love Sam. Oh, okay, this next one is from Palm. This is Calvaire, and I think that it's French, so I'm assuming that I'm saying that correctly, but it's The Ordeal. And I mentioned this before. Somebody came up with a great name, and I wish I could remember where I'd originally read this, but Backwoods Brutality is what they called it. And really, that's what a lot of horror movies are these days, is, you know, Hostel and even the Hills Have Eyes, the remake, and well, even the original. But it's just basically, let's have a character and let's just, you know, have him go off the beaten path, and then let's just do terrible shit to him for the whole movie. Just basically torture him and make his life a living hell. And, you know, or, you know, like in Hostel, let's strap him down and carve bits off of him. I don't know. These kind of films, honestly, don't do anything for me. To me, it's not horror. I mean, it's not really horror. It's just it's a gore fest. It's not even a thriller. I don't know what it is. It's backwoods brutality. That's what it is. But basically, you don't get much more brutal than this. Okay, so if that's your thing, then you're gonna want to check this out. But if not, If you're like, I wonder what this is. This is not the kind of thing that you want to wander into a video store and pick up. Okay, you know, if you have a video store that would carry this. And I say that not because there's anything wrong with the film, mind you, but because, let's face it, I mean, you know, blockbusters don't, this isn't your blockbuster kind of film, okay? But basically, and it's not rated, so there you go. But anyway, but you got to be careful what you pick up in video stores. I remember the story of when my my parents went home with From Dusk Till Dawn, and they didn't know what it was, and they told me later that they had picked it up because that nice George Clooney was in it from ER. And so when the movie turned around and vampires started showing up, they didn't know what the fuck was going on. So you got to be careful what you pick up, not knowing the backstory on these films. So I love that story. You went to the store and picked up what? Anyway, so this is Calvaire, The Ordeal from Palm, and it is an ordeal. Like I said, if this is your kind of movie, you can't go wrong with it, but the rest of us should probably stay away if we know what's good for us. Next up, we've got a lovely box set from Acorn Media. This is the Catherine Cookson collection, set 2, and this is not... I know Acorn puts out a lot of mystery stuff, so Catherine Cookson is the author, mind you, and not, you know, like a character that links all of these together, just to let you know, because we just did that Marple set the other day. But basically, these are 4 TV movies, and they're of significant length. You know, 100. They're basically all come in at about 2.5 hours. So it's you're getting your money's worth here. But the 4 titles included are The Dwelling Place, The Gambling Man, The Glass Virgin, and The Man Who Cried. That last one, of course, not to be confused with the 2000 film with Christina Ricci and Johnny Depp. So don't get confused. But basically, you've got some great stars in here: James Fox, Emily Mortimer, Kieran Hines, Amanda Root. You know, excellent set of casts in here. So if you're familiar with the works of Catherine Cookson, and Kieran Hines makes pretty much anything worth watching, but you could check that out. It comes with a biography of Cookson and filmographies of the cast, and clocks in at just a little over 5 hours. So excellent value there from Acorn Media. From Koch Lorber, we've got Changing Times with Catherine Deneuve and Gérard Depardieu, and basically it is a French film, naturally, with Depardieu is this guy who has longed for his first love, who is Catherine Deneuve, and really, if she was your first love, how could you not long for her? I mean, Catherine fucking Deneuve, for God's sake. But basically, so he decides after 3 decades that he's going to go, goddammit, I'm going to go after her and find her and make her mine, and finds out that she is married. And regardless of all of her protestations and the fact that she's wearing a ring, then he says, well, I'm going to win you anyway, and just sets off to, by God, do it. So hijinks ensue. Well, not really. Hijinks for some and not so much for others. But basically, you've got an interview with the actor who plays the doctor that Deneuve is married to, and the trailer. But that is from Koch Lorber, and if you're interested in a foreign film or you like the 2 leads, you should definitely check it out. Next up from Paramount, we've got a reimagining of the G.I. Joe franchise. It's called G.I. Joe Sigma 6, which is interesting because 6 Sigma is an industry term for getting rid of problems, of defects. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they're playing off of that. Who knows? But basically, it's their first strike, 90 minutes worth of stuff, and they've got a definite anime twist to the character design. And this is obviously set up for younger audiences, but you've got a smaller cast and I don't know. It's just I like the old school G.I. Joe myself, which is kind of silly because if you think about old school G.I. Joe, then those were like 12-inch figures with like articulation out the ass, and they were huge. And then you had like $6 Million Man and all this other stuff. God, this is making me feel old. It's making, you know what's old? What is really old is when you're looking at the 3rd iteration of a character that you grew up with, right? The original G.I. Joe, and then G.I. Joe Real American Hero, and G.I. Joe Sigma 6. God, that's pathetic. Man, just plant me in the ground. Anyway, so This comes with Sigma 6 Files, an animatic art gallery for Snake Eyes and Cobra Commander, and that's about it. Clocks in at 90 minutes, like I said, and this is new from Paramount and Hasbro. And I actually was there at San Diego 2 years ago when they announced this. So there you go. If you want to check it out, it's called First Strike, and it's from Paramount. Okay, next up we've got from Anchor Bay an absolutely massive Greatest American Hero complete series, and this is in a collectible numbered 10. That's only 20,000 individually numbered copies, and I've got it open here as I'm looking at it. Basically, this comes with 13 discs, and it's the discs that came in the individual seasons, right? But in addition to that, in addition to this, and I'm opening this up here so I can show it, go through it with you. But basically, in addition to that, you've got an iron-on transfer of the Greatest American Hero symbol from the costume. You've got a cape, right, that sadly has got the symbol on it, but as you can see on the actual packaging, it's got the Greatest American Hero printed on it as well. And we actually went to see if there was any way possible to snag those letters and get them off, but they're kind of melting on. It's not the best quality cape ever. And honestly, if you go to a party with a bunch of young people, they won't know who the hell you are anyway. So maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. So that's the one downer. Now, what's really cool is there is actually a replica of the instruction booklet. If you remember, that was the whole problem. The whole premise of the show was that they had this super suit and they didn't know what to do with it because they lost the instruction manual. And this thing, and I'll actually, I'm going to pull it out of the box here. So I can do this with you listening in. It actually looks like the instruction manual. Okay, the interior looks like it doesn't, and I don't remember how deeply they got into it, like flipping around and stuff. But little switch on the back, click, and it glows. Now that's kind of sweet. The actual binder, the clear plastic of the actual spine of this glows, as do the little dividers. Those glow orange, and then the little triangles on the first page here glow in various colors as well. So that's kind of cool. And what's better is that with a lot of these things, I'm trying to get this open. With a lot of these things, they when the battery wears out, you don't know how the hell to do it. These just have double A's, so you can open the back here and pop them open. So, you know, hey, I think that's pretty sweet. So that is the Greatest American Hero, if I could get it back into the box here, yes. That is the Greatest American Hero complete series. For fans of the show, they're going to want to grab this because it's everything and then some, and a little extra, and it's limited edition, and the metal tin is actually pretty freaking nice here. So, again, Greatest American Hero complete series, and that is a really nice set from Anchor Bay. Okay, next from Disney, we've got the Platinum Edition of Little Mermaid, and basically, when it comes to animation and the stuff that Disney puts out, that's you know, Walt Disney as opposed to Touchstone, Buena Vista, there's two things that I have tried to impress upon you guys for years now. There are two things that you have to pick up, okay? You have to pick up Platinum Editions of these films as they come out, all right? Starting when they started with Snow White, they are just chocked full of all kinds of goodness, and you need them. Or somebody you know needs them, and it's Christmas coming up, right? So freaking buy this. When the art, go to the cover art, click it, and buy it for the kids that you know that are on your list if they don't already have it, okay? But the Platinum Editions, right, and then the Walt Disney Treasures that come in the collectible tins, those especially, because the Platinum Editions are normally out for like a short amount of time, right? But the Walt Disney Treasures are limited edition. And so if you don't have them and you can find that they're in stock on Amazon, freaking order them, okay? Don't ask questions, just order them. And then if you find them like in a used CD store or something like that, buy it, all right? If you don't have the copy that you're looking at, buy it, because trust me, you want those, because they're damn good. But the Platinum Editions are really good. I mean, they're almost Criterion level of goodness, just because they throw the whole freaking kitchen sink in there. And I was talking with Ken a little while ago about Laserdisc versions of Disney and what's left that didn't make it to the DVD releases. And pretty much with the Platinum, they're throwing everything on there. With this, you've got, of course, the movie, and there is actually a commentary from the directors, the writer-directors, and also the composer, Alan Menken. In addition, you've also got a fairly extensive behind-the-scenes docu, making-of thing that's about 45 minutes long. There's a whole section of deleted scenes, including an alternate version of Poor Unfortunate Souls, which is just... gotta love Disney villain songs, and it's an excellent one. And also there's Games and Activities, which, you know, you can be afraid of as you will. Anyway, that's the Platinum Edition of Little Mermaid, and like I said, buy it, make sure that the kids that you know have it, because it's actually really good Disney, and towards the end of the really good Disney reign that we had there for a while. So might as well reward them while we can, right? Next, from Universal, we've got Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, an excellent fucking movie, with Vinnie Jones, who you have to love, Jason Statham, who was just getting started before he turned into Kung Fu Guy, Jason Fleming, Nick Moran, Dexter Fletcher, and it put Guy Ritchie on the scene, who promptly vanished into Madonna's closet. God bless you, son. Anyway, this is the director's cut, which looks like it has about 20 minutes, almost 20 minutes worth of new stuff on it. Has a cinematography featurette and a small compilation of all of the profanity that they have in the film. And I think that actually runs probably an hour and a half. No, I'm kidding. I don't know how long it runs. But anyway, so this is not what you would actually want from the film, which would be, you know, something with a bit of commentary. And also, what I would like to see is, honestly, an episode of the Lock, Stock series that aired in the UK that I didn't even know about until it was over. So I'm fascinated to see that. I need to look for that online, perhaps. Anyway, so that's Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels in the new unrated director's cut, which, of course, as we all know, means that they just didn't bother to take it back to the MPAA. Anyway, next up we've got from Conchvision, McLeod's Daughters, and I think I'm saying that right, M-C-L-E-O-D apostrophe S, Daughters. Of course, I'm inclined to go McLeod's, but that would make me sound like a fucking moron. But basically, you've got two women who inherit a large ranch in Australia, and go out to work it and assemble a workforce entirely based of women, and basically deal with working on a ranch. So that's basically it. And it's soap opera. In fact, when I saw this, I looked it up because I was like, I smell Lifetime. But actually, it showed on the WE network, and apparently they only showed, from what I'm reading, the first three seasons on WE, and then no one's showing it in the U.S. So the people who actually like the show are stuck waiting for it to hit DVD, which means there'll be even more reason to go buy it. So this has got all 22 first-season episodes. It's in widescreen, which is nice. It's got the TV movie that apparently started it all behind the scenes, and it's got some interviews as well. So if you're a fan of the show, all right, or dig chicks on horses, right, then you should pick this up from Kochvision. Next up, we got from Paramount the second season of Medium, which has been a hell of a hit, and hopefully not because, you know, anybody actually believes in this stuff, but it sounds cool, right? And we always like to see Steven Weber work. Oh my God, we've had an avalanche. What just fell? Oh my God. That's how much we have for October 3rd, ladies and gentlemen. We had an avalanche. Did you hear that? I'm pretty sure the mic picked that up. The gods were apparently that upset that I said Steven Weber and not Jake Weber. Jesus. Don't worry, no one's injured. All of a sudden, into my office bounds a St. Bernard with one of those little barrels under his chin, right? Attached to his collar, and mixes a martini. I'm just, you know, and I'm sober. Isn't that weird? Anyway, Medium with that Arquette chick. Yes. Patricia Arquette. The second season of her being able to communicate with spirits and see the future and all kinds of other crazy shit like this. And then later on there will be, and this is actually the follow-up to the series Small, and then showing later there will be Large. And then you can biggie-size the series for later. I don't know, you're thinking, that joke was terrible, Widge. I wish that shit had fallen on you. And you know, sometimes me too. Anyway, like I said, this comes out from Paramount, and you've got commentaries. From what I can tell, there's four on here, none of them with Arquette. And you've also got some other featurettes, and a gag reel. And apparently, there's at least one Porch, and if you'll forgive me for not being familiar with the show, because as you know, I don't watch television, but there are two medium sets of 3D glasses that come in the box as well, which have to, you know, obviously have to tie into one of the episodes. I'm flipping through. Oh yes, there is a Still Life 2D, and there is also a version of the episode called Still Life 3D. You know, I think I would have had that on the back of the box, to be perfectly honest. Hey, there's a 3D episode in here, so that's kind of cool. Anyway, so that's Medium, the complete second season, and that of course comes from Paramount. Tired yet? Bollocks, hang in there. And next we've got from Magnolia, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, MXC. This is the first season of this mess. Basically, you've got, it's extreme sports on crack. I mean, listen to some of the names of the games that they have in here. Rotating Surfboard of Death, right? Teetering Temple of Crippling Doom. Hand Job, which doesn't sound so bad when you think about it. Mounting the Spike. Now, that does sound really horrible. But basically, you've got 13 episodes of this, and you're trying to go through these extreme, crazy games and basically not be eliminated. That's why it's the Elimination Challenge. This comes from Magnolia, like I said. You've got an original episode of Takashi's Castle? Not sure how you say that. Let's go with Takashi's Castle, that basically this sprang out of the original sales presentation from 2001, and one of the hosts, Kenny, takes you through his most painful eliminations of the season. And when you have games like Mount the Spike, then you could have some very painful ones indeed. So this insanity comes to you from Magnolia, 13 episodes. And, there was commentary as well. There are commentaries. What was I going to tell? Oh, there's, yes, three commentaries from some of the folks involved. This looks absolutely insane. I can't wait to crack this open. Next up, we've got Once in a Lifetime, not the Talking Heads song. It's the extraordinary story of the New York cosmos. This is from Buena Vista, and this is back when there was a period in this country where people actually took soccer seriously over there, across the pond where they call football. And I know there's fans of soccer around, but for some reason, it's all football and baseball. Nobody seems to think soccer is very serious. I used to play soccer for like years and years when I was just a kid. And if you can imagine me running around on a field, I look like a fucking moron. So, I'm sure there's plenty of people who would be better suited for that game than me. Like, I don't know. You know, what's Patrick Warburton's character on Family Guy? Anyway, so this actually, they brought Pele to America to play for the New York Cosmos. And this takes place, like I said, during the 70s. You've got game highlights. You've got a deleted scene. You've got a lot of focus from the features on Pele, but hey, if you got Pele, why wouldn't you? But hey, if you're interested in soccer and you want to see what it was like back in the 70s when you had kick-ass teams like the Cosmos, you should check this out. And again, that's from Buena Vista. Next up from Fox, we've got Point Break. And a lot of people give this movie a lot of shit because it was kind of, you know, extreme. Let's bank on extreme sports, right? And at the time, they thought that this stuff was extreme. I mean, now we got crazy shit now. I mean, we got, you know, rotating surfboard of death and shit. But basically, Point Break, not a bad movie. I mean, I actually think Keanu Reeves works as an action star because then he can, like, move and not have to act or talk so much. And Patrick Swayze, you have to like Patrick Swayze. And the thing I like most about Patrick Swayze is that he is one of the best mad faces ever. When he gets pissed, his entire face crinkles up. I mean, it's really like, oh shit. So Roadhouse is the best place to see that, personally. But this was not a bad movie, directed by Kathryn Bigelow. It was not a bad movie. I remember seeing this in the cinema. And the problem with it is that it just went on for too damn long. How long does this thing run? Does it say? Of course it doesn't say, because it'll scare you off. Only 2 hours? My God, it felt like 2.5. I could have sworn that was a 2.5-hour movie. Ooh, that's not good. Anyway, but yeah, this is the pure adrenaline edition. So if you like the film, you're going to want to check this out. It comes with deleted scenes, comes with a retrospective featurette, two other featurettes, and an on-location featurette as well with the still gallery. So, like I said, it was a decent flick. It just, I don't know, it just felt a little bit too long. Needed some more editing going on with that. From Paramount, we've got the 25th anniversary edition of Reds, and this is Warren Beatty's film that he starred in, wrote and produced and directed, and for all I know, worked the craft services table and the whole bit. But basically, this is a two-disc collector's edition, and I don't know how you could want to back away from this film. I mean, Warren Beatty, Jack Nicholson, Paul Sorvino, Diane Keaton, Maureen Stapleton, an incredible fucking movie here. And, you know, music by Stephen Sondheim. How cool is that? Basically, you've got Beatty plays John Reed, who's a communist, an American communist. It's about two things. It's about Diane Keaton, who plays Louis Bryant, as a writer, who they have a relationship, on and off relationship with. And also, he's, because he is a communist, he is basically covering the Russian Revolution as it happens. And events just play out as the background for these two characters, including Nicholson, who plays Eugene O'Neill. So anyway, if you've not checked this out, you really should. For the cast alone, it's worth checking out. And that's Reds from Paramount. Next up from the folks at Comedy Central and Paramount is South Park, The Hits, Volume 1. And basically, you've got 10 episodes on here, including 4 bonus episodes. So basically, it's 14 episodes in total. And these 10 are supposed to be some of their favorites between the two guys, Matt and Trey. And also, the thing that surprised me was this has The Spirit of Christmas, which, as I understand it, is the first time that the original short has appeared on DVD. And it's just, it was so pervasive and all over the internet that we all just assumed, at least I assumed, that it had to have been released at some point, but it hadn't. So it is here. If you want it in actual good quality on DVD, you should pick that up. No other bonus features to be spoken of, but, you know, I figure it's worth picking up for Spirit of Christmas alone. I mean, let's face it, we all watched it so many damn times for free, it'd be nice to pay them for it at least once, right? So that's South Park, The Hits, Volume 1 from Paramount and Comedy Central. Stargate junkies should rejoice because Stargate SG-1 Season 9 is out from MGM. That's, like I said, the complete 9th season comes in across 3 discs. You've got 20 episodes in total, and behind-the-scenes featurette, design galleries, audio commentary on every episode, which is nice, so you fans are definitely going to want to pick this up for that. And with the announcement that they're going to be doing direct-to-DVD continuations of Stargate SG-1, now that it's been canceled, you guys are definitely going to want to pick this up and do so through the site, because sales of DVDs are obviously going to drive how much of the original Stargate that you see. So, and be sure to tune in for, listen to the Witch Goes Off annual if you want to hear Tuffley's take on why Stargate got canceled. I need to find out what his latest take on it is. But again, that's Stargate SG-1, 9th season, 3 discs, comes from MGM. Next, we've got Fox's Thank You for Smoking, which has Aaron Eckhart in it, the woefully underused Aaron Eckhart, who is just absolutely kick-ass in this and practically everything he does, frankly. But basically, he is the head spin guy for Big Tobacco in this satire. And it's absolutely, absolutely over the top. And if you, I think, honestly, smokers, non-smokers will enjoy this bit of comedy here. And the cast is absolutely amazing. Robert Duvall, J.K. Simmons, William H. Macy, Sam Elliott, Rob Lowe, and Katie Holmes, and probably one of her last appearances for a while. Bonus bits come with 2 commentaries. You've also got deleted scenes with optional director's commentary, interviews, a bit of the Charlie Rose Show, and more. So it's funny as hell, and you should definitely check that out, and that's from Fox. And Aaron Eckhart is a genius. And last but not least, we've got X-Men The Last Stand, which, you know, not fond of the film. I mean, I hate to say it, but I actually enjoyed X2. I actually liked X2 more than the first film. I thought that they did pretty damn well considering the source material that they had to work with, and did it fairly good justice. But with the third one, they're just trying to do too much. I mean, they could have set up the whole Dark Phoenix thing with the Hellfire Club in X3 and then done a fourth film with the actual Dark Phoenix storyline, which would have been a lot better, honestly. But in this, and then they had, you know, the mutant registration and the cure and all this other stuff going on, so it was just way too much to deal with in one film. And I understand why they did it. I mean, they basically knew that they were probably only going to get this cast back for one more film, and now they get to go off and do, you know, a Wolverine film and maybe a Magneto film, right? So, whatever. I just, you know, as I said at the time, if you've got dialogue, lines that not even Ian McKellen can make sound good, then you know you've got issues. So, anyway, this comes with 2 commentaries, one with the producers and one with the director and screenwriters, And it's also got deleted extended scenes and such, and alternate endings. And those come with optional commentary as well. So if you like the film, you might want to check it out. If nothing else, you might want to, you know, listen to the commentaries and see how they explain themselves. And that would be fine with a rental. So that's it. That's the end of our 10-3 heads up. Thank you for sticking with us. We'll get 10-10 out here very quickly, and then we'll hopefully be caught up this week. Wouldn't that be nice? If I don't exhaust myself and fall over as I'm wont to do. As always, if you have feedback, please let me know at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. And if there's stuff that you didn't see, stuff that we missed, something else that we need to talk about, please let me know. And as always, hang around the site because we've always got God knows what we're going to be doing. And it's almost Halloween. So, you know, maybe you can join me for my 5-day festival of crazy horror movies. Anyway, so that's it. I am out of here. And thanks for listening. And again, we will talk to you soon. Bye.
I've been thinking, maybe we got a good thing going in. Maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry to leave.